I will have you know, I had to like, I have my whole setup, including a very full cup of tea. Like, it's right there at the top. I had to move my whole setup over because he was
Saint.
not. Saint was not in the frame. And I was like, this is
That's not
bad
acceptable.
juju. That is bad karma. If he's not in the frame, then what is it all for? Welcome to the Incoherent Fangirl.
Where we haven't quite hopped off the entangled train just
Look,
yet.
we just love Entangled. We love Red Tower. We love all of the above.
Sorry, not sorry.
KU publicity. K publicity.
K publicity. We love them a lot.
Yeah. I forgot that it was my turn to say my name. I don't have a brain today. I'm Mandy of the Deadlands.
I'm Karen from Santa Monica.
You like how I'm just sitting here staring at you like,
Just,
what's
yeah, I'm like,
next?
Mandy,
My turn.
it's your turn. To be fair to Mandy, she is a little under the weather, so,
Yeah,
you know.
I got a little sore throat. So.
All right. In our timeline, it is May 9th. In y'all's timeline, it is May 17th, which is
Oh,
crazy. Middle of the month.
my twins are that's their last day of school that they have to actually, I think they're out of school that by this time
That's
because they're exempting finals.
crazy.
Yeah.
Nice. My
Yeah.
kid is not out till June. So,
Ew.
yeah, early June. And then this is how I know I'm doing something right in terms of parenting. She voluntarily is going to summer school. Not just any summer school, a math specific summer school. I don't know what I did to convince her that school was a good thing, but
Wow.
I guess I don't know, but here we are.
Watch,
I'm
she's
doing
gonna graduate at like 12.
this week in fangirling. Mandy, what did you do?
Not a lot. There was one very cute day where my little nephew, who's 6 months old, had an ear infection. So my sister had to make him an appointment. And it was the same time as my niece's school like pickup. So she's like, I can't be in two places at once. And I'm like, Mimi will go get her. So I busted her out of school early. She was so surprised. We did a bunch of crafts. I really, really tried to get her to make some Mother's Day cards for my sister and my mom and our grandmother. No, Mimi, how do you write Happy Friendship Day? How do you
Oh
write Happy 100 Days of School? Because I want to go back to that. So I got
my
to spend some
goodness.
time with my girl. My legs nearly decided they were leaving my body because my husband was out of town last week and I love to do projects when he's gone. And so I decided to install caulk and paint all of the baseboards in the main areas of my home. So that was lay on the ground to tape and then get back up and then lay on the ground to staple in all of the, it's not baseboards, it was quarter round, staple in all of the quarter round and then get back up and move around the hall, then paint or caulk, then paint, then take all the tape up. The next day, my hair hurt. Everything hurt, but especially like my legs. I'm just gonna die. So if you're listening to this, be ye not stupid. Stretch, stretch before you do projects.
Gosh.
And I tell you that because while I was doing this project, I started listening to the audiobook of The North Wind by Alexandria Warwick. So the book was released in 2022, but they've just recently released the audiobook this month. And I got an ALC, which is an advanced listener copy from Libro FM, Libro.fm.
I think that it was originally indie pubbed and it's
Oh,
being
maybe.
re-released as trad because I have an ARC of it and
Very
it's
nice.
so I think it's being picked up as trad. So that's probably
Maybe.
part of it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but yeah. Anyways.
Okay, so this is a Beauty and the Beast meets Hades and Persephone kind of retelling. And it follows Wren of Edgewood. So she's an identical twin. Her sister is Alara. And they are identical except for Wren has a facial scar. And they are also orphans. Their parents succumb to the famine that was like that is currently rocking their county, city, whatever you call it. So Wren is basically Thera Acheron. She's hunting, she's gathering, she's doing whatever she can to make sure that she and Alara survive. Alara is sitting there. Apparently, their parents raised them for whatever reason that Wren had to be the one that everybody relies on, and Alara just has to look pretty. She's an Elaine. So, in this world, there are four gods and they are the four winds and they control the seasons. So in Edgewood, the north wind comes once every few decades and collects this an unwed woman, and she'll never be seen again. And so all of the villagers are like, he's sacrificing these women. We have to sacrifice these women to this god. It's freezing here all of the time, but like to keep it to where it's just freezing and we're not literally freezing to death constantly. And he's due for a visit. So when he comes, he always chooses one of the prettiest girls, and Ren is sure like he's gonna take Alara. So she gets like, when he comes, they have like a dinner with the, I think it's like the 12 most beautiful girls in Edgewood, and Alara is one of them, and Ren is there as her like sponsor or whatever. You have to have like someone there with you. Mm-hmm. A lot of women have their mothers. So Ren gets sassy, mm-hmm. and the North Wind is like, it draws attention to Alara, and the North Wind is like, all right, I'll take that one out of spite because Ren has pissed him off. So he's like, I'm going to take your sister then. So Ren is full of just as much spite. And again, she's an identical twin. So the North Wind tells Alara, go prepare to leave Edgewood. You have half an hour or whatever to pack your things. So they go home, where Ren drugs Alara. So she'll go to sleep and wraps herself up in a cloak and follows the North Wind through the Deadlands, where I'm from, back to his home. So the North Wind, who we come to know as Boreas, is his name, takes Alara to his citadel and marries her. And once they are married, once the oaths have been said, Ren reveals her face and her husband's fate. And she's like, you're married to the wrong twin, buddy. It's a slow burn, enemies to lovers. I want to say, like, it's got a lot of twists that you don't see coming, but you also know the story of Beauty and the Beast, right?
Right, right.
So she befriends one of his brothers who is not exactly to be trusted and gives like Gaston vibes. And so you know the path that it's going to take. But it also, like I said, gives a lot of Hades and Persephone vibes, where like this king of frost, this god of frost and cold, gets his heart warmed a little bit by a little sunshine coming in here. It's been a couple of years now. It was the Once Upon a Book Club Romantasy box. Mm-hmm. Book. So I'm excited to go through the box and open all of the gifts, because since I've been doing audio, I don't know what page I'm on. Very close to the end, and I've enjoyed it. I don't know if any more books are out in the series yet. I think that they did a book two with the second box.
Yeah.
But
they did the book two, but I don't know that the other ones are out.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. I think that the second Romantasy box was that, and that they haven't done anymore. I'm very like, if I had like another extra hour today, I would have finished it, because like I said, audio, and I can listen to it while I'm working. And I also finished Five Broken Blades by Mae Corland. We talked about it a lot last week, so just like a one sentence synopsis: the five best liars in Yusan come together to kill the king, and all of them have their own motives for doing so. So it's Six of Crows style. If you love the dregs, you're going to love this book. Tae Young has my heart and my soul. The ending was everything. I was sitting on the couch next to Josh and I was like, this is happening. No, wait, it's not. Is this? No, it is what I thought. No, it's not.
I like
just going back and forth. I was DMing with May like, oh my gosh, I just.
I can't wait.
Five Broken Blades. So, so, so good. And that has been my week. We had a very fun day today. We got a COVID diagnosis. We had severe weather. It's coming back tomorrow. I have a sore throat. So it's just.
It's been a day.
Yeah. What did you do this week?
So I have a bunch of stuff written down from like the week when we. Last week when
cheater,
we did
cheater,
anything.
Booger eater.
Because I really haven't read anything since then. So I finished the Crave series. I finished Cherish, which was fun. I read Sweet Nightmare, obviously. I read The Atlas Six by Olivia Blake, which was fun. I feel like it's really, really hyped, and I was kind of like expecting it to be amazing, and it was just kind of okay. Sorry.
I feel like everybody thinks I was obsessed with it, but I don't think I gave it a 5.
I don't know. But it was fine.
Apologized to me about it, and I was like, I liked it, but I don't think
it's fine. It's not bad. It's a solid
I just love
book.
Nico. I just love Nico.
We do love Nico. And then I finished my reread of the original Percy Jackson series. So I read The Titan's Curse, The Battle of the Labyrinth, and The Last Olympian by Rick Riordan. It was fun. It was a good time. I was like sitting there like, okay, things are starting to come back to me. I know what's happening. I know the twist. Why aren't you guys figuring this out? Oh wait, I've already read this. That's
Yeah, you
why
haven't.
I know. You guys are living it. But it's Percy Jackson. Like I can't say any bad things about Percy Jackson. I'm looking forward to, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to continue reading Rick Riordan slowly through pub date order. I have a whole a list. So he's got a couple other series that are, they're all kind of set in the same world, but they don't all connect. Like there's
He's
one
got some
that's,
Egyptian ones
yeah,
too.
there's like the Egyptian gods and then maybe Roman
I think so. There's the
and then
Cain
the,
Chronicles. I can't
yeah.
exactly, I have a whole section. I can't see them
Yeah.
though from this
And
angle.
then there's new Percy Jackson. So slowly I'm going to go through those. They are all apparently set in the same world, even though they don't all like interconnect.
At the same gods or whatever, yeah.
Right. But yeah, I'm excited to do that. And then I read The Fake Dating Game by Timothy Janowski. So good. I think, is this his? I don't know, but it was really good. It was, so you've got, oh, I didn't write down names because I'm really smart. Please hold.
Jupiter music.
I do this every week. You'd think I would know better by now, but I don't. So you've got Holden James, who lost his mom years ago, like right before I think high school graduation, and he's still kind of like dealing with the grief of losing her. They were really close and all of that. And so he's decided that he wants to go on their favorite game show, which is kind of like The Price is Right plus Jeopardy. So there's like, it's like The Price is Right where you have to do all the grocery stuff, but there's also trivia questions and things like that. And so he is decided that he's gonna propose this idea to go with his boyfriend where they audition together and they're gonna go be on this game show that he loves. And as he's like about to ask, his boyfriend decides that they're no longer working and he breaks up with him. And so Holden is obviously very upset by this, but because he has paid for hotel and travel. They live in New York. The auditions are in LA. He's already paid for everything and he can't get refunds. So he's like, I'm just gonna go anyways and hope for the best. And so, but the only problem is you have to audition as a pair. So he needs somebody to be his partner. And at the hotel that he booked, there is a, what are they called? At the front desk, people, not a receptionist.
Clerk?
I don't, you know what I'm talking about.
A reservationist?
The
I don't know.
person who is at the front desk of a hotel, he goes and is, and they have like this really silly interaction
Not
where,
concierge.
yeah,
Okay, yeah.
yes, thank you.
Okay.
I was like, it's something with a C, but I can't
Was
remember.
like, concierge is the person who does the activities, but they can
Yeah.
also be
But
like
they
at
can
the
also
desk.
be, yeah.
Yeah.
And so he has this interaction with him, and his name is Leo. And Leo's kind of like a smart ass at times, but
I love that.
in like
I am
not like
too.
a douchebag way though. Like he's
Yeah.
just kind of a smart ass. And so they kind of hit it off and things happen or almost happen. And then there, but Holden's like really, really drunk, and Leo's like, no, I don't do that when people are really, really drunk. And I'm like, that's a good man.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you never know.
The bar's
And
on the floor.
so, yeah, it really is. Next day, they like plan to meet up for lunch and do the thing that they didn't do because Holden was very, very drunk. But Leo gets fired from his job and is like throwing himself a pity party. And Holden's like, wait, what if we go on the show together and pretend like we're dating? Because they're more likely to like accept people who have a prior relationship. So then they start fake dating and training for this show, and it's very cute. And it's a capital R romance, so you know it ends with an HEA. And it's Timothy Janofsky. Like, I
Yeah,
love the way he writes. It's so fun. It's so gay. It's so amazing. I love it. It's so good. It's so good.
Fun fact, when I was like in high school, I think, maybe early college, I said that if I had a son, I'd want to name him Holden, but it's because of Holden Caulfield from The Catcher in the Rye. Love that name.
Cute, cute.
I love it.
So, yeah, and I think I mean, I'm currently reading Heaven Breaker by
We'll
Sarah
talk.
Wolf.
Yeah.
We will talk about that a
Why
little
would
bit
you
later.
tell us what that's about, or why
Why
would
would
I tell
I
us what
say
that's
anything?
about when
We
Sarah
have
tell us?
exactly. And other than that, I did go to Y'all West,
Yay,
and it
I've
was
been waiting for
so much
this.
fun.
I put on makeup because of you that day.
So the same day that her legs tried to run away from her, mine did the same thing, but because I was walking around a high school like a crazy person all day, my
It's like, wait, are
whole
we both dying?
we literally my whole body was dying. It was a full day thing. Once everything ended around like 6:15-ish, I got in the car and drove from Santa Monica to Anaheim to meet up with Heather and have dinner. And I'm standing here waiting for everybody to come so we can have dinner. And I'm like dying. I'm like, everything hurts. They won't seat us until the whole party is here. And I need to sit down. You guys, I need you to hurry up. I'm dying.
Please.
Literally. As soon as they showed up, I'm like, who has drugs? I need pain
Someone
medication
please
right
pass the
now.
drugs.
And thank God somebody had some ibuprofen. And I was
You
like,
should have, I should have been there because I am never without ibuprofen ever,
I needed
ever.
it so bad. I was dying. So yeah, but Y'all West was fun. We did talk about after Y'all Fest was kind of a hot mess and chaotic. We were like worried whether Y'all West would like still be as exciting as it was the first year. So for the Fierce Friday like preview event, it was bad. It was chaos.
I'm telling
It
you,
was,
like, what is going on
well,
over there
so it
in
was
the
a
y'all
lot of
offices?
it was a lot of like miscommunication. Like the volunteers, some volunteers told some people this stuff and some told this, and then it was really conflicting information. So they did this thing. First of all, I got an email. I drove down and I got an email after we got to our hotel and checked in that said that doors would open at 2:30. The event started at 4, and we had got to our hotel about 2 o'clock. And I was like, okay, we'll get some rest before we head over. No, immediately got back in the car and drove out to the library because that's where it was being held because doors opened at 2:30, and I knew they were capping certain lines.
Yeah.
And so when we went in, they're like, you can get one wristband per hour. So depending on, because there were certain authors who were wristbanded and others who weren't. So we went in, they're like, one wristband per hour. So there were certain authors for the first hour and certain authors for the second hour. And so we went and we got, wristbands for Stephanie Garber. I got one for Stephanie Garber for the first hour. My daughter got one for Tracy Dion for the first hour. And so at that point, I was like, okay, that's gonna be it. But as we were standing in Tracy Dion's line, I just kind of like was talking to the volunteers. I'm like, so I know they said like only one per person per hour. They're like, well, who do you want? And so they gave me another wristband, even though I already had one, which was like the first like miscommunication,
Yeah,
which
that's
I mean,
nice, but
benefits me, but like again, the
yeah, it's not nice
miscommunication.
for everybody else who only got one.
One,
Yeah.
exactly. And I wasn't like trying to circumvent anything. I just kind of was like, I just want to clarify because everybody seems confused. So then when we were standing in line for Stephanie Garber waiting for everything to start, apparently they were doing if you bought a book at the little like bookstore that they had set up, like the table set up for selling books, you got a ticket for like a priority ticket. So you could choose one author that you could jump to the front of the line, and it could be any of the authors. But apparently, so this was where it got really confusing because people were told that once you had this ticket, you could pick a line and you could jump to the front of the line. And people were told that's all you need, you can jump to the front of whatever line. Other people were told if you're going to do that for an author with a wristband, you have to get a wristband as well. So there were people who were in line with a priority ticket for Stephanie Garber, did not get a wristband, and then were told they needed a wristband after they were all gone. And so it was a mess. It was
I just don't understand how, like, from year to year, it can go from so great to so bad. Like, I felt horrible bringing Josh and the other twin and you over to, and Angie over to Y'all Fest on how great it was, year before last. And then it was like we got one arc. There were no like actual events. Like the first year I went, there was tea parties and ice cream socials, and Chloe Gong had her secret Shanghai speakeasy thing. Like none of that. They didn't do anything.
It
Like what
was
happens?
so that was really like it was,
Disappointing.
and they did it at a different look. Library branch. So last year they did it at one of the like smaller branches, and they had a huge outdoor space where they just lined up all the tables and you could see all of the authors. So you could like, and there were wristbands obviously. So you would go get whatever wristband and go. And then if you had time and if the author still had time during their signing, you could hop into different lines really easily. This year they did it at the main branch and it was inside the library, so everybody was spread out into different parts of the library, so you couldn't see what anything looked
Where you were
like.
going, yeah.
And on top of that, I swear to God, there was no fucking AC. We are in Santa Monica in freaking April, May, and it was hot as all hell, like
Yeah.
sweating. It was terrible. And it was like the main part of the library was like hot. And then you'd get into like the kids and the teen section, which was a whole separate like room. And that was even hotter because it was a smaller space with more people.
More
It
people.
was
Ooh.
terrible. Terrible. So that was meh. And then for the event itself, normally what they do with like the wristbanded author signings is you can get a wristband an hour before the signing, right? They didn't do that this year. They
They changed
had
that at Y'all
like
Fest too.
they had specific times for each author, and it was super confusing. And then it was also like you can't line up until 30 minutes before the distribution time. And then they actually had people who were like standing where the lines would start and being like, you can't line up. If you line up, you're not getting a wristband. But then you would have people who would congregate near that spot,
Yeah.
and then it was like a stampede to get into line, and it was
I mean,
so
they did that
dangerous.
with Leigh Bardugo at Y'all Fest. It was the line will open at 9 and there were people lined up at 6:30 and they let them like they're like, "Okay, this is the line. If the line starts at 9, then this should be you can't congregate over here. You can't come running up. Be here at 9. That's
People
not
like
fair."
it was, well, not only was it not fair, it was especially where at the high school, it was not safe.
No.
It was not safe at all because not only were you having people literally stampeding to get into line, but there are steps around
I
there.
mean, downtown Charleston with uneven sidewalks that are,
And then
hundreds of years old.
you had one volunteer being like, this is where the official line is starting. You have people starting to line up. And then another volunteer is like, oh no, just kidding. It's actually over here. And so you have people who went from first in line to like 50th in line. And
Yeah.
it was really chaotic. One thing that I did appreciate was they did have some of like the bigger name authors like Adam and Tahereh and Alex Astor. Like they had them signing for more than an hour. Like they were scheduled for more than an hour, which is nice. Like it, I mean, like if they're willing to do that, then that's great, especially for the bigger names where you know you're gonna have long lines. Because even then, if you have a wristband, you're not guaranteed if they run out of time. So that was nice. I realized when I was looking at the schedule, I was very confused as to why Victoria Abeyard was only signing for an hour.
A bunch
And
of music festival.
well, she was going to a music festival. She was also on like several different panels. So they had her at a hard, like 100 wristbands, that's it,
Yeah.
which I totally get, but it really sucked being number 102.
Oh yeah.
It really sucked.
Oh yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was fine. Like my daughter, I had a friend with me. Joanna was with me, and my daughter decided she wanted to spend time running around with Joanna rather than being plastered by my side. So we like split up for a good portion of it. But it was fine. We got some arcs. We got to see some people, and it was really fun to just kind of be in the atmosphere. There was one girl where I was standing in line to get a book signed by Tracy Wolf, and a girl comes over, and I think she's talking to her, maybe her mom, and she literally comes up and she's like, who the fuck is Stephanie Garber? And I was like, first of
Ma'am,
all, what?
you're in the wrong place.
But then secondly, she's like, I hope to God I'm never a part of that fandom. Like, I this is fucking stupid. Because apparently she was stuck. She like almost got ran over because of the way that they did the Stephanie Garber line, which is, if that's your first experience with people in the fandom, which again, you can't encompass the entire fandom because of just that.
Right.
But if that's your first experience, I get it. And
Yeah.
then I think I texted you about it. Like, I wasn't trying to get in. I was trying to go. The line was here, and I was on this side, and I needed to be on this side. And I just wanted to go through the line to get to the other side. And I was like, hi, sorry, can I just squeeze back past you? I'm just trying to get to the other side. And this girl straight up death glared me. And I'm like, you do not belong here. What the
Yeah, nothing
fuck?
is that. I was like, that's not a book person.
No, she doesn't even go here.
She doesn't even go here. You're
I was
not one
like,
of us.
oh, it was so gross. So, yeah, that was fun times.
I just want to
But
go back to like my first year of Y'all Fest
yeah,
because that was
y'all.
like I told you, there is one person who will get me to Y'all Fest this year, and it's Taha Damafi. If she's going to be there, I will go. If not, I may have to sit this one out because last year was such a bad experience
It
as far
was
as like opposite of
the first
Y'all Fest.
experience.
And I had like bragged about how great it was and brought all of these people here. Like, you've got to come to Y'all Fest. You've got to see Charleston. And it was just like the weather was terrible. There
Oh
was
my
no
God.
events,
Yeah.
nothing.
But yeah, I mean, overall, like, it was a good time. Like, it was really nice to be able to see friends, like, people. So last year when we went, we made friends with the people in line in front of us, and they were here again. And so we all kind of like got to see each other again. It was very cool and
I got a
made new
FaceTime.
friends. Was that?
I got a FaceTime.
You did. We went to Robbie's signing line, and we were talking about how it was sad that Mandy couldn't be there. So Robbie was like, I think he was joking. He's like, we could FaceTime her. I was like, actually, we can.
I know. When I got up Saturday morning, I was like, first thing I did, I was like, what time is it in California? Because she will end up FaceTiming me with somebody, and I am not going to look like a troll. My hair was a mess, but it
You
was
looked
fun.
beautiful.
Thank you.
But it was
So did
fun.
you
It was a good
guys.
time. We got to see Robbie again. We got to see Adam. Adam signed my book, Thank You for Letting Me Fucking Curse,
Dude,
which was awesome. I was like, what
he's
is
so
even
silly.
he's so funny. I saw Victoria. I didn't get to say hi to her, but I saw her. She looked
She's
beautiful as
so
always.
gorgeous. Like, ugh.
Yeah, she is. I saw Tracy. I met Tracy in
You
person.
saw Casey Faisal.
I
He's
did.
got her last name.
Oh my gosh. I went, my daughter needed to go to the bathroom. This was at Fierce Friday. My daughter needed to go to the bathroom, so I walked over to the bathroom, and I'm standing outside, and he's standing outside waiting for her. And I was just like, I'm so sorry. This is super awkward. I just wanted to let you know that I love how much you love your wife, and that's all. Okay. And he was like, oh my gosh, thank you. I was like, it was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was fun. It was not the same. I don't have the same level of enthusiasm about it as I did for last year's event.
And
It's
it's like,
not
how do
as,
you decline like that?
yeah.
You would think they would only get better.
Yeah. SmackDown was so good. SmackDown was fun. We had some surprise appearances by Jared and Sophia, which was
Yeah.
so much fun. They are so cute. I adored them. So yeah, it was SmackDown, as always, is a blast. But yeah, I mean, I'll go again next year because it wasn't as bad as like how bad Y'all Fest was. And I'll probably give Y'all Fest another try, if for nothing else than to be with you guys.
Yeah.
Like to see Angie and
Yeah. Hopefully me.
hopefully you, depending on. Yeah, so we'll see.
Taha Damafi. You gotta come to Y'all Fest. Help them redeem it for me because I'll be one of those in line at 6:30 in the morning.
You absolutely
I have to show you that
would.
Aaron and I match.
So yeah, that was basically my week. That was a lot of talk about Y'all
You.
West.
Do you have a fictional boyfriend of the week?
I do not, but I'm gonna bring back my fictional granny. I did not read Vera Wang this week, but Vera is my fictional granny again this week because Vera Wang won the Edgar Award for Best Paperback.
Oh,
So we're celebrating on their
so
behalf.
Vera.
Yeah, I saw Jesse posted it to Instagram and saying like how the Pulitzer is like the height of the literary awards and the Hugo is the height of, I think, sci-fi fantasy, and the Edgar is for like mysteries, and she won an Edgar Award for Vera Wang. And I was like, this is very exciting. I get to talk about my fictional granny again this week.
Hey.
So yeah, my fictional granny. No boys this week. Just a granny.
Very nice.
How about you?
I'm gonna go with Boreas the North Wind. I think they describe him with blue eyes, but the rest of him is Ben Barnes with long hair. Sold.
That's fair. That is
Except
fair.
for the whole like frost thing. I feel like I love Boreas, okay? Spoiler alert. It's a Beauty and the Beast retelling. If there is anything on this earth that is my fandom,
Right.
it's Beauty and the Beast, and it's been that way since what, 1993, 1994, whatever year it came out, that's been my life. But I feel like whenever the summer wind comes, that's gonna be my jam because
You're a
born
summer
on the first
girly.
day of summer, I am a summer person through and through. I don't know about the frosty wind of the north bringing the cold and ice. Like, I don't know
Yeah.
that that's for me, not so much.
Well, for this week, at least it is.
Yeah, Boreas is, I like him a lot. Very patient, as the beast, as Prince Adam is in the
Okay.
cartoon. So,
Okay, sounds good.
yeah.
That sound means we have an intruder
It's an
alert.
intruder.
Guys, we're so excited. We have the author of Heaven Breaker, Sarah Wolf, with us today. Welcome to the
Yay!
podcast,
Hi, everybody. My name is Sarah Wolf. I'm the New York Times bestselling author of the Lovely Vicious series, but I also wrote Bring Me Their Hearts, and now Heaven Breaker is my newest series. It's nice to meet everybody. Hello.
Oh my God,
Oh, that was
we're
a
so,
brilliant
that was
intro.
so good.
Thank you. I've been
Oh my
practicing.
gosh.
I've had 10 years of practice, so I better be good at it. True,
I feel
fair.
like I still we like we've been doing this for like 3 years and I still stumble over things. So like
That's
yeah,
so real.
kudos.
That's real. You guys are professionals, though.
we try. We
We
we're
try, but
really
we
good at
say
faking
like
it.
we fake it, but then if things go off the rails or we say
That's
something
also
just whatever, it's
on
like we're on
brand.
brand.
That's
Ah,
why we
inherent.
named
That's like,
ourselves.
yeah. A
Yeah.
bit of chaos.
Yeah,
I see. Yeah,
exactly.
exactly. Okay.
All right. So what we normally do is the first thing we ask is if you could give us kind of like a quick elevator pitch of the book if somebody just
Sure.
hasn't heard of it before.
Sure, yeah. Heaven Breaker is a revenge story about a girl whose mother has been murdered, in her quest to get revenge. She has to ride a giant robot and joust against nobles in a tournament in order to secure her retribution. Very
Love it.
nice. I
Yeah.
love it.
So I have a habit of picking up books because they look pretty and not reading the back cover.
I mean,
And so I
oh.
definitely did not go into it n realize thinking like it's like sci-fi, and I open it and I'm reading, I'm like, this is so
Yeah.
exciting. I haven't read sci-fi in so long, and I actually really love space adventures, but I kind of like haven't done it recently. So thanks
Yeah.
for that.
It does. I've heard a lot of people say that it definitely does look like a fantasy cover, and I agree. I wanted a mech on it, but apparently mechs are very, very hard to find good artists for. They're different from like, the usual cover images. So
Right.
yeah, maybe
Yeah.
someday.
It's
Very nice.
still
It
really
is
exciting.
beautiful.
It's a
Yeah.
beautiful cover, and the story, I'm obsessed. I'm about a third of the way through, and I'm just
Oh.
like, oh, I have to stop and do other things.
I know.
I
She was
want to.
reading it in the carpool line.
I know. I
Oh,
was like
really?
waiting
Thankfully,
to
of
pick up
course,
my
like
daughter. I was
parked.
like, I gotta read as fast as I
That's
can.
so funny. Yeah, I hope it made the time pass.
Yeah, I'm having a blast. I'm absolutely having a
Yay.
blast.
That's good to hear. So, where Yeah. did this story come from? Oh my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot of places, right? Because it incorporates a lot of elements. There's giant robots, they're in space, and they're jousting. That alone is like three different like
Yeah.
movies slash shows slash books, right? Like
Right.
it's like a blender in there, a smoothie, one might say. Mostly, I really enjoy giant robots. I grew up with them a lot. Like in some ways, some people grow up with books, and I grew up with like anime, and I grew up with like games and stuff like that. So for me, giant robots were introduced very, very early on as a concept. And then Pacific Rim came along, and I could finally talk about giant robots with all my friends. Yay!
So
Hey,
Pacific Rim,
yeah.
yeah. Pacific Rim has stayed sort of as a like a benchmark for me in terms of giant robots. Evangelion, even though I don't really like the characters that much, I really do like the giant robots. They're the coolest part, and that's an anime. But yeah, so like I think it came about because of two things. Do you guys remember like the fake nuclear missile alert that went out to Hawaii?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
Yeah.
vaguely. Yeah.
Oh my
Yeah.
God, I like erased it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They're gonna try and make you forget that one. But basically, like that happened. My family lives in Hawaii. Grew up in Hawaii. My family lives in Hawaii. So for like a solid 45 minutes, it was maybe the worst anxiety I've ever
Oh,
felt in my
yeah.
life.
I
Because like
bet.
all I could do is sit here and watch all my friends and family text me about how they were like going down to the beach and just sort of drinking and waiting for the end. So that was really fun. But then it was like, oh, haha, it's just a joke. It's just a fun little slip. We slipped up on that alert. That was a joke. And the government announced that on Twitter. They were like, haha,
My
whoops.
God.
And I was like, okay. So I was so mad because you don't accidentally do something like that. I'm not really a conspiracy
No.
theorist, but that is not an accident that happens.
Right.
So my fear, I had a lot of fury towards, let's say, a lot of government at that point. And then I watched, ended up watching Queen's Gambit, which is a really cool show on Netflix. And I'm not the sort of person that is competitive. I don't understand the competitive drive. I don't understand sports. I don't get it, right? But watching Queen's Gambit made me realize, ah, people don't just do this to say I'm the best. They do this to test themselves and their own ego and the limits of their own
Yeah.
abilities against each other, right? So I sort of kind of made, I wanted, right then and there, I was like, ah, a competition. And like all of the pent up anger I had, not just towards that incident, but many other incidents, because this was the quarantine and the panini, right? Many other instances, I had a lot of pent up rage, and I watched Queen's Gambit. I was like, well, we could make it a competition. And it sort of started rolling from there. I knew I wanted to make giant robots. I had never done sci-fi before, but the only place giant robots really fit is sci-fi, right? I think even like Iron Widow is a really good example of this. It is fantasy, yes, but it is also, it's, I would say that Iron Widow is more like a sci-fantasy. Right. It's not just a fantasy. It's not just a sci-fi. It's like a blend of both. So I actually, it was funny. I wrote like the first draft of Heavenbreaker and then I read Iron Widow and I was like, yo, we should
Wait a
collab.
second.
Yo, let's collab. Wait a
Yes.
second. We had the same
And you
brain
have
cell.
her right here, or have
Yeah,
them
Sharon.
right
I Sharon has
know.
been so kind as to give me a blurb. And they have been
Yeah.
so great to get to know as a person. And so I have been having a blast learning and just making friends. But yeah, so sci-fi, I never tried it before, but I knew that if I wanted to try it my way, it would have to be couched in sort of the giant robot genre, right? Because that is what I know. I also really like them just as an extent of the human ego, right? Like the giant robot is not just a giant robot, it represents the pilot inside. There's something about it that represents the pilot, right? And so I really like projecting the human ego outward onto the robot and sort of give it a
Yeah.
symbolism and all that sort of stuff. So that's how the
Yeah.
book came about. Yippee.
I love that. I
I
love
can
the
already
like
see the
multiple. Yeah.
cosplays
Oh,
from
I'm so
like this book.
excited. Yes.
I can already picture them.
I would love that.
I love all the different elements to it too. Like there's so many different pieces that you don't think would work together, and then you th they're there and you're like, "Oh, this is fun. I never would have thought of that. This is a blast." So in the book, you have kind of a unique way of telling the story where you have some chapters are in, is it Sonali? Is that how you say it?
Yes.
In like her first person point of view, and then you have other chapters that kind of follow other characters. How did you develop like that style of writing the story?
Yeah, so usually my books are in first person. Majority, I would say, is in first person. But I realized that this world was a bit bigger, and if we were only confined to Sonali's viewpoint, it would be a shame. It would be a waste. What I was going for originally was a Hunger Games style, where it's almost entirely in Katniss's point of view type deal with the Hunger Games. I was trying to go for that at the beginning, but I just realized that all the political machinations that were coming to a head had to sort of converge at the end, and that meant that we had to see them at it. Throughout the book. So yeah, I wanted something that wasn't quite as limiting as first person, even though I love first person, there's only a limit you can do with it, right? So yeah, I did some stuff that felt important to show. I'm usually bad at figuring that out, actually. I'm usually bad at being like, ah, I need to show this so the reader's not confused. But I think in this book, it just sort of really came naturally, right? Like it was just like, oh, I need to show them this. I need to show them this. Like, you
Yeah.
know, yeah.
Yeah. And
So is
it's.
it, oh, sorry. I was going to say, is it difficult to go from Sonali's perspective and personality to the chapters that aren't her and keep her voice distinct? Or is that something that just kind of comes naturally?
I think she's such a strong character in terms of what she wants, right? I mean, she only wants revenge, and that's the only thing she wants. So it's actually very easy to slip back into her because she's pissed. She's pissed as hell, right? Like, she's mad and she's pissed. And like, she's actually extremely easy because she's sort of dry because of all her trauma. She's just like tamped down, like what would be considered wet emotion, right? Like, so there's not a lot of there's not a lot of emotion to her, but there is a lot of like dry. I mean, people say there is, and then it's true. But it's like desiccated emotion, right? It's like emotion jerky. She's basically emotional jerky right now versus like at a full steak, you know? Like, and then you go to someone like Rax, and Rax is like a full like steak, you know, he's got like the juices everywhere. And yeah, all of the characters, I guess, let me stop doing this metaphor real quick. All of the characters are so well defined in what they want specifically that it is pretty easy to jump back and forth between them because they all have flavors to them. They have feels to them. And they're just like, the snapshots are so well defined in my head that it's pretty easy.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Karen pointed out like the art. I haven't really noticed, but the art on each chapter is different hints. Compared to like talking was or that, little hints.
Was that act of choice?
So every picture represents a character. So the lances represent Rax, and the spider represents Rain, and the lion represents Morel, and the girl with the helmet on represents Sonali, and then Dravix. I forget what we did for Dravix, but yeah, he only has one scene anyway, so it's okay.
I was going to say, I was trying to find him, but he only has the one. That's really cool. I don't know that I've ever seen that before.
Yeah.
When I first started reading it, I like was flipping the page. I'm like, wait. And you even have like the numbering on the chapters, it changes a little bit. And I was like, wait a second, this is clever. what was the thought process behind that? Like, why did you decide to not only having these little like art images, but like the changing of the numbering of the chapters? I thought that was really interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, the images are entirely thanks to the people who put the book together, the graphics team at Red Tower. So 100% of the credit goes to them for that. For the chapter title, like the chapter numbers, I think it was like we spent a weekend trying to put this book together as fast as possible because of various circumstances. But we were going back and forth, just emailing like every minute, pretty much. And Liz's wonderful assistant, she told me, I don't know if she wants to be named, so I'm just gonna say Liz's wonderful assistant was like, you know, like we're talking about chapter, the Latin needed to be corrected basically. And so I was going through all of the chapters and I was like, what if, so like the point of Rain's journey is that no spoilers if you don't want to hear the spoilers, but the point of Rain's journey is that he finds a new family to protect. Mm-hmm. Right. So I wanted him to be, he's already has so much behind him, his journey is counting down to when he meets his new family. Mm. And so his chapters start out really high, but then they count down to zero eventually, where he starts his real journey. Yeah.
That's so crazy. Like, I love, that's so thoughtful.
Yeah.
My gosh. What a fun little like Easter egg kind of thing to put in. Oh, I love it.
Wow. I'm glad you like it. I was hoping people would get it and they wouldn't be like, is this a typo?
No, I looked at it. I'm like, this is intentional, but I wasn't far enough in to like really like understand the nuance of it. And now that you've explained it, I'm like, oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
I love it.
So Heavenbreaker is intended to be a series, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How many books do you think, or have you planned out for?
So I'm not a plotter because every time I end up plotting a book fully, it's like you plot a book and it's like, I'm done with the book. Oops, I wrote it. Didn't I write it? I wrote down all the plot points. There's nothing else to do. Like there's a book there. There's like, so in my brain, if I plot something out, I just shelve it as finished. But for me, like in order to keep myself entertained by my own book, I basically have to be like, all right, I don't know what's happening. Here's the start. Here's the end. Go. Right. And so what keeps me entertained is like, and what keeps me writing is like finding out every new thing that sort of comes along the way. And that's why I'm a pantser, because the chaos fuels my brain. Yeah. So
that's a whole entire mood.
Yeah. Chaos. That's my new favorite thing. Chaos fueled my brain. I love that.
I forgot the original question. I'm so sorry.
Well, it was just like,
this is going
to be a series.
Yes. It's going to be a duology for now. a duology. Okay. So two books, Heaven Breaker and Hellrunner, I think is going to be the second book.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And hopefully it's going to be like a red book to offset the blue, maybe with like a rabbit or something. But yeah. So Hellrunner is going to be the second book. We'll see if it does well enough, then we can get a third book. But to be honest, I don't know if either of you read the book to full, like the entire book. That's okay.
Still.
Not yet.
I don't know if you heard about the reference to the seven other arcs of humanity that are somewhere out there. Basically, yeah. There are seven in total. Yeah. And so I would like to explore the other six. So like, I want one. I had this image of one that falls down to a water planet. And so all of the giant robot fights happen underwater, but it's like a pirate theme. So that it's like old school pirates. Instead of medieval knights first meet some robots, I wanted it to be pirates meets giant robots fighting underwater. They're like salvaging, fighting over salvage or something like that. Yeah. So I might.
So cool.
Yeah,
I love this.
You so love much. It? I'm glad. I think Hellrunner is definitely going to end Sonali's story, but I don't think the world itself is going to end. I think there's definitely possibilities. So yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. Because when I was reading it, I didn't quite know, like, I wasn't 100% sure if there was more to this, like there was going to be a second one. But then when I got to like, they were talking about the seven stations, I was like, well, surely there's going to be at least seven. That's so exciting. Okay, we're putting it out there. We're manifesting it.
I was going to say, we're manifestors on this podcast.
We're going to manifest that we get to visit all of the other stations at some point. Oh, that'll be so much fun.
Yeah. This is a book that I really want to see. Out of all of my books, I think this is the one that fits like film the most, or not TV.
Oh, I could see it.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I can see it being very cinematic. At least like I said, I'm only about a third of the way through, but it already feels kind of like there's that energy. Like you could bring it to life. And I also really like giant robots. Like let's do more giant robots. Let's do more. Let's in space, giant robots in space. Like what is not to love about that? Honestly, guys.
Fair.
True. I'm hoping with the popularity of Dune, it'll be possible.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see.
True.
Fingers crossed.
Very true.
Okay. So we have a couple questions that we like ask everybody.
Yeah.
They're kind of like required for being on the podcast. The first one is this is the moment where like everything you've ever consumed is going to leave your brain.
I'm so excited.
What is a book?
I've never heard of
a TV show.
Yeah.
So we have a segment that we call Fictional Boyfriend of the Week, in which we pick like a fictional character that we love. It doesn't have to be a boyfriend. This week I have a fictional granny. So basically any fictional character from whatever that just speaks to you. Who is somebody that you're like, either for this week or like of all time, that you're like, them, mine.
Ooh.
Yes.
Well, if I'm going to be truthful, I have a secret. I'm reading. I don't know if I should say this. Let's say I'm a beta reader for a friend.
Okay.
And their book is going to be very big.
Okay.
And let's just say that there is a guy who's my baby girl in there.
Okay.
I don't know if I can say. Okay. Listen, I can't say it, but it's going to come out. And it's also about giant robots. Okay. Let's just say
love giant robots.
That it's a sequel to a giant robot book and I'm reading it. And there's a baby girl man in it that I love him. Yeah. 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 You're putting the pieces together.
It's exactly what it's what I think it is. It's-
yeah. Okay. I can't spoil though. So yes, he's kind of.
I got it.
You got it? Okay.
We're on the same wavelength.
I'm completely lost. So
nice. It's okay.
She'll tell you after.
I'll tell you later.
She'll tell me.
He's like my evil baby girl. I love him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. I'm here for this. Yes.
And then in general, I think if I have a baby girl of all time, I think it's probably going to be Dimitri Fire Emblem. Dimitri Three Houses Fire Emblem. He's a video game character, but I love him. And he's my husband.
You know what? Video game characters are also fictional characters that we love. Yeah.
He's a king, if it helps.
Oh.
He's a king and he's super magically super strong. He breaks all the utensils that he holds when he's trying to eat.
Okay.
It's really cute. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
What game?
Fire Emblem Three Houses. It's a tactical strategy game. But yeah.
Okay. I love that.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. The other question that we always ask our guests is, what are you reading? Like, what books do you recommend outside of your own that, you know, it could be like your favorite book, something you've read recently that you're like, everyone has to read this.
Yeah, I think every time someone asks me what books to read, especially if they're fantasy, I always point them towards the Terry Pratchett Tiffany Aching series. It's part of his Discworld, I don't know what to call it, anthology. It's part of his Discworld universe, but basically it's about a prepubescent witch who comes into her full powers over the course of like three or four books. And Terry Pratchett has this amazing style, especially in these books, where it's like he's sitting down his granddaughter on his knee and telling her this story of this witch. And like it's full of like life lessons and like his advice. It's not preachy in any way. It's just like, here are the things you're going to encounter. You're going to start liking boys, right? You're going to get into some trouble with some rough boys. Like, and in this case, the rough boy is like the king of winter, right? Like an evil fairy. So like there's a lot of really cool metaphors in it. It's really well written. It's very charming. And it just feels like the coming of age story from a grandpa or grandma that I like never had. So I always recommend
Oh.
it. It's Tiffany, the Tiffany Aching series by Terry Pratchett.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, it's my comfort read.
Yeah. Would
It's
you say
cozy
that's
fantasy for
like,
sure.
is that what around what age range is that?
I would say the first book probably starts at like 12. And then
Okay.
it goes up and it stops at probably like 16.
Okay.
It's
Yeah.
nothing graphic. It's just like scary situations that are
Got it.
and like
Yeah, 'cause
hard to grasp things.
I have a
She has
9-year-old and
little.
I'm like, yeah. So I'm like,
She might
and
love it. Yeah.
she loves reading. She's really
Yep.
into reading, which thank God. So
Yeah.
I'm like always kind of find little nuggets like that. Like that sounds
Yeah.
perfect
Tiffany
for
Aching would be
just things
perfect
that
for
y'all can
her.
enjoy
Yeah.
together too.
Yeah.
Oh,
The
I love it.
first book deals with her like trying to rescue, I think it's her baby brother in a very labyrinth move, but it's her baby brother from like the gnomes under the hill.
Oh.
And she has a frying pan. That's her only weapon. But as she grows up, she becomes a real witch. And the cool thing about that series is like Terry Pratchett does this wonderful job of differentiating between witches and wizards. So wizards are people that study esoterically and like just sort of like make up concepts that don't really help the common people, but the witch is the person who will give you the cure for the common cold, right? She's like, she'll make you a soup, you know, she'll teach you how to stop the river from flooding, like very practical, grounded magic versus like this esoteric wizard nonsense.
I
Which,
love
and
that.
I love the differentiation. It's very neat.
Wow.
Definitely check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I
For
will.
sure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know Heavenbreaker is not quite out yet, but can you talk about anything from the sequel that you can talk about, or anything that you're working on right now that we can
Sure.
expect?
Yeah, there's a lot of more banging in the sequel. There's a lot of more boinging if you're all interested in that. Some rumpus time, shall we say? The first book is it was hard. I tried my best to put some boingus in there. But I couldn't because just the way Sonali is, she's just like so revenge driven. There's no way that she's going to be down for boinging anytime soon, especially with her particular trauma wrapped up around it. So
Yeah.
I did my best, and like what I like about Rax and Sonali's relationship is that he's sort of there to feed her fire and vice versa, rather than just being people that immediately like I want to rip your clothes off. It's more like you'll see, I think, as you get farther in the book. But basically, Rax is kind of the more mature one, even though Sonali seems more mature. Rax is more mature because he understands that like pursuing a romantic relationship right now with somebody who is that like wounded is not the way to
Right.
go. Like it would not
It's
be
more taking
fair.
advantage. Yeah.
Yes, it wouldn't be fair. So he basically draws a really hard line. But she is like tormented because she's never really had sexual attraction to anybody. She's used sex as a weapon essentially just to get through life. And so now she has to grapple with the fact that, oh, she might actually like someone in that way. And it is very confusing to her because she's like, oh, is it just sex? Or is it like, can I even have a relationship when I'm just going to die? Right? Because this is full of,
Right.
again, like you might want to put a trigger warning for this episode in general, but she is very full of suicidal ideation. So it's rough for her. She's going through a rough time, and Rax kind of knows that. And so he's drawn this line. And I think in the second book, the line is going to be a bit different because he has to teach her a lot of things, not just boinging, but it's like he has to teach her how to ride properly, right? And to ride properly. But you know, anyway, that's not a funny. That's not funny. I don't know why I said that. No, I love your pity laughter, but stop. So yeah, so they have a really good relationship. I think it's going to get better in the second book. And I did my best with the tension in the first book, and I feel like it suits it. So yeah, there's going to be Boingen. I think Morel's going to play a really surprising role. Not a lot of people are going to be like, oh, people are going to be like, what is happening? Because her role is so surprising. And I think people, there will be some deaths, unfortunately, but that's just how the cookie crumbles in books. You know how it is.
Yeah. Oh, we survived our share of them. So
yeah, your share. I won't make it too bad, I promise.
Okay. But not too traumatic.
Not too traumatic.
You heard it here, folks.
Just a little bit trauma.
Just a little light death. No big deal.
Yeah, yes,
no big
deal. Light permanent trauma. Easy peasy.
Oh my gosh. Well, we do
Speaking
have to
of
let
trauma,
you know.
We have some bad news.
Yeah,
for you.
We do have to let you know. Now that you have been on the podcast, you are actually legally obligated to come back for all future book releases.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I would love that actually. That's so weird that this is an unfortunate circumstance you're informing me of, because I would love to do that.
We always say that we don't make the rules, we just enforce them with these hands.
Yeah, with these hands. Yep. Those two right hands. All right. Well, I'm scared of getting beaten up, so I will be here again, I think.
Somebody thinks I'm tough.
You are. You're very tough. You're surviving a tornado right now.
Hey.
You're extremely tough.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. Okay, friends. This is Heaven Breaker by Sarah Wolf. It is out on May 21st. If you somehow...
So just a few more days when you're hearing this.
Yeah. Oh, if you somehow haven't seen the book yet, it has beautiful sprayed edges. It is limited to first print run. We don't have it on here because it's...
No, we don't have our edges because this is ours. But,
yeah. Definitely go check it out. I'm having such a blast with it. I can't wait to finish. Like, immediately after logging out, I'm going to go back to reading. Like, my child needs to go to bed. No, no.
It's time.
You do. thank you so much, Sarah, for coming and hanging out and talking
thank
about
you.
This with
this
us.
This has been a blast.
So much fun. We can't wait for everybody to read it. We can't wait for the sequel. And we can't wait to see
the TV series. And the TV series.
Let's listen.
Hey, universe. Because, like, I manifest things that come true on this podcast.
It's
all the time.
It's happened. It's happened.
Wow.
Heaven Breaker, the series, the show.
Yeah.
Dare I say a video game spinoff would
oh
be.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yes.
Epic. All of this is going to happen.
Yes.
It's
Thank
going
you
to happen.
So much. Your energy is appreciated.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate you guys have been very, very sweet.
Thank you so much.
We had
so
We've
much
had such
fun.
A blast. This has been great.
You're the first person to make me laugh. In my life. Did you know that? Isn't that
In your
crazy?
Whole life? I
In
feel very
life.
Powerful right now.
Hey.
You're like very, very powerful.
Yeah.
Oh, our power is endless.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. We hope you have a great release day. We can't wait for
Me
everybody
too.
To read it. And we'll talk soon.
Yes. We'll see you in Hellrunner.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye. She's so cute.
Oh my God.
She's like the best energy.
So good. I was like feeling so tired before this and now I'm like wired.
Yeah, energized.
Like, oh, yeah. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
I love her energy.
Oh my gosh. We have a new bestie.
Yes. So much fun. You guys, seriously. Look at it. It's so pretty. It's so pretty. I bet it's going to be like shiny. Like the finished copies are going to be shiny.
With the edges are probably like foiled kind of.
Ugh, I don't know, but I can't wait to see it. It's so much fun. I'm having a blast.
Love,
seriously.
Love, love.
Yay. So much fun. Announcements for next week.
Yay.
We are going to take a little detour off of the Entangled train. We do still love them, but we also love our friends at Forever. Next week, we're going to be chatting. We're bringing back Corellia Stesswaters, and she's bringing her wife, Faye. We're going to talk about Second Night Stand. I'm so excited. I met Corellia and Faye at Steamy Lit Con last year, and they are just as obsessed with each other as you think they are, and it's so cute. I love them so much. I can't wait to talk to them about this book.
I always I loved how well spoken Corellia was on our podcast, and I just can imagine Faye is going to be.
Faye is very similar. They're very similar. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun.
This is so exciting. All right, we got to get me through a spiel.
We can do this, Mandy. We can do this.
I can do it.
We're almost done.
I can feel my throat doing like this.
All right, super speed. Here we go. If y'all enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you are listening to us. Please also follow us on social media. We are at The Incoherent Fangirl on all the things. You can also stream all of our episodes as well as read our blog over on our website, theincoherentfangirl.com. There's lots of goodies there. And if you're interested in early access to podcast episode, full video episodes, exclusive bonus content, early announcements, you can head over to our Patreon, theincoherentfangirl.com/Patreon, to subscribe. We also have merch that Mandy made. She's awesome.
I thought about yesterday out my iPad, but it was dead. And I was like, at least I'm thinking about pulling out the iPad.
It's fine.
We're getting there. Doggy merch.
So head over to theincoherentfangirl.com/shop to get some cute merch. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, design ideas you want to tell us that were pretty, we'll accept all of that in our inboxes, theincoherentfangirl@gmail.com. And one last way to support the podcast is to rate and review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Please give us your words. We love words. So give us all of them.
Just a little bit.
Just a tiny bit.
Tiny bit.
She is at Mandy Perv on all the things.
She's at Ms. Made in China on all the things.
And once you have followed us on social media and you follow the podcast on social media, you're going to want to head over and do some self-care by visiting our internet besties, starting with Here Comes a Nerd. Head to herecomesanerd.com, use code Fangirl, and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Obviously. And she's doing so many exciting things.
So exciting. Lately. She did say to keep an eye out in May, which is now. So things are happening.
Maybe by the time you hear this, they've already happened. Who knows? Go check it out. Go check out our website. Then you're going to head to onceuponabookclub.com. I talked about their romanticy box to this episode. I'm sure I'll post an unboxing somewhere for the romanticy box, but you're going to want to get whatever they have. You want to subscribe to the multitude of options that they have for you right now. You can buy some one-off goodies or extra boxes that they have left over. Whatever you want to do, just support our besties over there. And we have two codes. You can't use them both at the same time. They don't stack, but you can support us and get a little discount and support our besties. Mm-hmm. So you're going to use either code Karen10 or Mandy10 for 10% off. Just make sure you spell Karen right or you will get no percent off and looks of shame from us.
Mm-hmm. You have to remember, I'm not like a regular Karen. I am a cool Karen. And again, if you get that reference, we are now best friends. I don't make the rules.
Yep.
Speaking no of rules best here, friends. You're speaking cool of Karen. Best friends, we are... we are so excited for Amber D. Lewis to release her next series. We're getting into the ARC reader stage, so it's coming soon. So while you're waiting on that, you're gonna want to start with her first series. They're not related, but you're still gonna want to read it anyways.
I mean, if you haven't listened to us by now, there might not be any hope for you.
You know, you can still redeem yourselves. I believe in you.
You could try, yeah.
Head over to amberdlewis.com. You're going to put like 10 of everything in your cart. And then you're going to use code FANGIRL10 to get 10% off the 10 of everything.
Hey.
So, yeah, it's
great. Is that basically one free at that point?
I feel like, yeah, that sounds about right.
We don't maths. And then you're going to go follow the show husband. I guess we can support him. He's all right. So you're going to go listen to the latest episode of the Paranormal Mind podcast. You're going to go follow the Paranormal Mind on all the things. Then you can go check out Searchers. So you're going to go to searchersbelieve.com or follow at Searchers Believe on everything or all of the above. And if you go to searchersbelieve.com/shop and use code FANGIRL10, you'll get 10% off of all the merch I just looked.
That as well.
They're due for some new merch too. I just need a few hours alone with my iPad to make it happen for everybody.
All the things. Soon. And
that was the Incoherent Girl.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. We love you. Bye.
We are sponsored by our friends at Here Comes the Nerd. Pins, stickers, magnets, and more. Here Comes the Nerd has happy art for all fandom-loving hearts. New customers can use coupon code FANGIRL during checkout for 20% off their first order at herecomesthenerd.com. Coupon applies to ready-to-ship items only.